Let's Talk About is recorded and produced in Treaty 1 territories, on the original lands of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. Thank you very much for listening. Hello and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk About. Just for posterity's sake, I'm recording this on January 18th, so the day before you're listening to this. I'm trying to get this episode done kind of late. A lot of stuff happened on Sunday, so I didn't get a chance to record the episode that I wanted to. And I've got some plans later in the evening, so I've got to get this done now. And luckily enough, something that I wanted to talk about and I've been wanting to talk about for a while is getting new life. When I originally started this show, one of the first episodes I did was on the carbon tax. And something that, you know, I talked about with the carbon tax is how it is an incentive for different corporations, you know, the actual people who will be impacted by carbon emission or by the carbon tax, because the way that the carbon tax is measured, it's measured in tons of carbon emitted. So the average Canadian will not be subjected directly to the carbon tax, and how the carbon tax operates as an incentive to get companies to change to adopt green energy solutions or green solutions to offset their carbon emissions. So switching to solar or wind or buying carbon offsets or planting a lot of trees, I don't know. It was written into the actual policy that it meant, you know, you get relief under the carbon tax by adopting green solutions. And I've been meaning to talk about carbon recapture technology for a very, very long time. And something interesting happened. Actually, a couple interesting things happened. First off, as a lot of you who listen and know me and follow me on Twitter might know, I wrote a book. Technically, I'm still writing it because I'm doing revisions. But one of the things that I wanted to make clear was, or one of the major themes and topics in the book is climate change, because I'm dealing with the world flung far into the future, not that far, it's about 60, 70 years into the future, and how we have dealt with, how we've been impacted by climate change and how we have adapted to it or dealt with it. So, you know, there are solar roads, so all roads have been more or less replaced, covered on the top and with little stands with, solar panels. So throughout the day, there's constant solar power generation. There's large windmill turbines and solar farms. The city has, you know, it takes place in Winnipeg, but Winnipeg has been expanding vertically, not horizontally, so they can save land, save trees, and, you know, we can live in, we can preserve so much more land for growing food and for growing and for placing, you know, wind and solar generation, and while meeting the needs of people. Climate refugees are a pretty significant, are significant in the book, and they're mentioned a lot. And one thing I did, something I didn't know when I was originally learning about climate change back when I was a kid, was carbon recapture technology, because it wasn't really a big, significant, wasn't a big enough, more significant thing when I was a kid. But now it is, and it's something that fascinates me to this day. Bill Gates is a huge proponent of carbon recapture technology. He's done amazing work bringing green solutions to the forefront. And related to that, bringing Bill Gates and my book together, my editor, she's done an amazing job of kind of feeding me ideas and working to kind of draw things out. She sent me an amazing podcast, Rashida Jones and Bill Gates, their podcast, and they did an episode on climate change. And one of the major topics of the discussion was carbon recapture technology. Specifically, what I'm going to talk about in a bit, how companies have technology that allows them to take carbon from the air, you know, directly pull carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and compact the carbon into a solid material, which they then inject into the earth, where it will just lay dormant. So they're basically making carbon rocks. They're removing carbon out of the air and making rocks out of it. You can make bricks out of it. It was something, and a cool idea that I had, that you could build structures out of these carbon bricks. And then lo and behold, I'm sitting at work today. And I'm sitting at my desk working today, and a CBC article comes across my feed. And I took a second when I was on my lunch break, and I found it was an episode of a podcast. Let me pull it up here if I still have it open. Yes, I do. So it is from the CBC show What on Earth? And the attached article is How Carbon Capture Technology Can Add to the Emissions Problem. Which is an interesting discussion, and it's especially interesting because today, January 18th, we are close to the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden, and he announced today that he will be canceling the Keystone XL pipeline. And this is massive, massive news in Canada. Why? Especially because I work with people from Alberta, but because the Keystone XL pipeline has been a huge topic of debate and protest. This is where the Wet'suwet'en protests come from, protests from other Indigenous groups about land use, and how they were not brought in to talk about. Sorry, that was drinking coffee. The building of the Keystone XL pipeline. So the pipeline basically goes from Canada down through to the States. And what this effectively does, there were protests around, you know, oil spills and disruption of ecosystems and the construction and, you know, the emissions that it's going to cause and, you know, what the actual cost is going to be, not just financially, but also, on the environment, because we are still part of the Paris Climate Accord and pumping out tons and tons of oil. Like, one of the major problems, you know, Manitoba is at the very least carbon neutral, but I believe carbon negative province, because 99.9% of our power generation comes from hydro. We have massive hydroelectric dams. We actually generate so much hydroelectric power, we don't have adequate storage for it. The supply is much higher than the demand. One of the really cool things for people who are listening outside of Manitoba, and even for Manitobans, if you don't understand how this works, Manitoba Hydro is owned by the province of Manitoba. It is the only game in town. They have a monopoly on power and electricity in Manitoba. By the fact that it's owned by the province, we ourselves, the citizens of this province, own Manitoba Hydro. So one of the cool ways, the cool benefits to that, is that because it's the only game in town, we own the game, we set the prices. So we can essentially generate our own power for a quarter of the cost of other provinces. And because we have such a small population, we have such strong infrastructure for power generation and such big hydroelectric dams, there is more supply than there is demand, which anybody that knows supply and demand, you know, the more lower supply means higher demand, higher cost, or high demand, low supply means high cost. There's a high supply and low demand, that means the cost is going to come down because there's just so much flooding the market that, you know, it's basically worthless. Anybody can get it. Everybody has it. So our hydropower, our electricity bills are much lower than every other place in the country because we generate it all. And they're not worried about revenues because it operates as a nonprofit. As a person who works for a nonprofit, I know that, you know, the cool thing is that the money flows right back into the community, because that's the point. You, for a nonprofit, all of your money, you know, the money you take in is meant to pay the overhead cost of running that nonprofit organization. All excess revenue, all revenue essentially, has to be given away. For you to say you have non-profit, you have non-profit status, you generate no profit. So the corporation I work for, we give our money straight back to the province. Manitoba Hydro gives their money straight back to the province. So that little cool note aside, we actually generate so much power, we get to sell it to other provinces and some of the states. So Manitoba is carbon negative. You know who isn't carbon negative? Alberta. So a lot of Canada's, you know, net carbon comes from the oil sands in Alberta and, also Saskatchewan, because they generate a lot of, coal-fired power plants, and, they're a natural resource economy, not to the degree of Alberta, but still, so this recent news means bad things for Alberta. You know, it's going to be more difficult for them to get unrefined oil out of Canada, because Canada doesn't have oil refineries, so we can't turn our oil into anything usable. We just have crude. They pull it out of the ground through the oil sands or through fracking, and it gets transported usually to the States, where it gets turned into usable oil. And Canada doesn't have the infrastructure to refine crude oil. So this puts Alberta in a very strange dilemma, because already they were having supply issues. They were having issues with the amount, because they're producing more than they can effectively get out of the province. Or they'll have oil prices will drop, and because they're not bringing in that consistent revenue for the province, because Alberta doesn't have a PST, doesn't have provincial sales tax, and they are somewhat lower taxed on income, there's less money generated through taxes in the province, and a lot of the money comes from oil. So you know, when oil prices are high, Alberta's selling lots of oil, and there's lots of money flowing into Alberta, so they're able to do some really cool things, and they're able to make life very nice for people that live there. But when oil prices are low, or they're not able to get oil out, that makes life a little bit more difficult for them. So what does this mean in terms of carbon recapture technology? Well, they're kind of in a tough spot where they may have to start, you know, looking towards offsetting, you know, their carbon footprint's probably going to come down a little bit, but they might have to look towards another means of offsetting carbon. And carbon recapture technology is tied very closely to carbon-generating ventures. Something that the CBC article talked about is how large carbon-emitting industries are using carbon recapture technology to offset their emissions. It's something actually that I brought into the book before reading this article. So, you know, a coal-fired power plant or an oil refinery will have these carbon recapture machines, basically, if it helps you, just think of like a little machine with a smokestack coming out the top that sucks in the carbon as it's emitted. So it's source, point recapture. So with point recapture, you're basically recapturing at the source. So as soon as that emission comes out of the smokestack, it's getting channeled directly into carbon recapture, where the carbon is removed from it. It is put into a different state, and all the excess is put out. So the oxygen goes back out. So the CO2 comes out, goes into the machine, carbon gets pulled off, carbon molecules get pulled off, O2 molecules go out, and they go off back into the atmosphere. Well, the carbon is done something with, usually, you would hope. So you've got what Bill Gates was talking about with the kind of carbon recapture technology, the kind of carbon recapture technology where the carbon is brought in, and carbon's removed, and it is basically condensed. You have all of these carbon molecules, and you know, molecules, the way that you arrange the molecules determines its state. So you can fuse these carbon molecules together to make a physical compound, dense physical material, which then you inject back into the earth. There's some cool companies in the U.S. that do this kind of as a demonstration to businesses, where they will take they'll pull carbon out of the atmosphere, and they will generate kind of like an ice core. If you think of when they go and do the carbon readings in the Antarctic, what you do is you bore a little hole, and you bring out this long cylinder, of ice, and you can analyze, because, you know, carbon gets captured inside the ice. This is one of the major problems with the ice caps melting, is releasing even more. It's an exponential problem where it's releasing, as the ice melts, it releases carbon into the atmosphere, carbon dioxide back into the atmosphere that was trapped in the ice, little air pockets, air bubbles in the ice, because there's carbon dioxide in the water. So what they would do to measure carbon dioxide in the air and see, track it over time, is you bore these holes, and year over year, you can basically check year over year, based on the age of the ice, more or less, how much carbon was in the atmosphere at the time, using different modeling techniques and calculations. And what this company does is they do the same thing, but they will pull carbon dioxide out of the air, siphon out the carbon, compact it into these this dense material, inject it into the earth, and then pull it out. So you can see physically the carbon you have emitted. So it's basically buying a carbon offset, and you get a physical thing out of it. So what the CBC found in their investigation of it is that the carbon recapture industry is not at a point where we can sustainably use that technology. So the argument being, there are two ways to deal with climate change in industry. You either cut out those industries, or there's multiple ways, but you can cut out that industry. So, you know, stop relying on oil. Everyone switches to green energy and, you know, electric cars. And, you know, we get rid of the need for oil and gasoline, things like that, that generate emissions. The other being, aside from that, we can use carbon recapture technology to offset the emissions that those industries generate. So, you know, when there's an oil refinery in Texas, and as they're refining oil and the CO2 is getting pumped into the atmosphere, carbon recapture machines are pulling that carbon dioxide back out of the air and taking the carbon out. The issue being currently that there is not enough carbon recapture technology out there, and not enough people are using it. So it's again a supply and demand problem. There is not enough supply of these machines and this technology to be able to offset carbon in the atmosphere and the carbon generated. So we are still a carbon positive species. We are still a carbon positive nation because we don't have enough offsetting that. And this transfers all the way back to Manitoba, the Manitoba example, how we are a carbon negative province. Because we've got a whack load of trees, like basically everything east of Winnipeg is tree, everything north of Winnipeg is lakes and trees. So that we just, that is one of the things about Canada, is our net emissions are so low because we have so many forests. BC is like 99% forest. Ontario is like 96% forest. Those are rough estimations, but we have lots of trees. We have lots of forests. We have lots of undeveloped territory and land. The territories themselves are just wilderness. And those plants and trees are really the original carbon recapture technology. The organisms, they subsist off carbon dioxide. So one of the earliest carbon, and this is what we see in Manitoba, one of the earliest and most effective carbon recapture technologies is just to plant a lot of trees and have a lot of green space. And it's interesting to think about how a lot of the complaints around climate change, the carbon tax, in the U.S., the Green New Deal, is how much we're going to have to change to save the planet. Carbon recapture technology says, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, what if you don't have to change? What if you don't have to stop driving your car? What if you don't have to stop, you know, we have to switch off, we have to find solutions to make sure that, you know, green energy, solar energy and wind energy work, you know, aren't intermittent. Something that one of the major problems with solar and wind is wind power. Sometimes there's no wind, even high up. And sometimes the wind is too strong. So in order to keep power generation to save levels and keep the structural integrity of the windmills, they have to turn them off and power them down. For solar, half, you know, usually about 8 to 10 hours a day, there's no sun. Just a quick point. Cloudiness doesn't mean there's no sun. Just to point that out there. Solar power still works when it's cloudy because they work off UV radiation, which comes through the clouds still, just in lower levels. Just thought I would point that out. So one of the major problems with using, you know, green energy sources is that they're intermittent. Manitoba was lucky because water just keeps flowing. So we have a lot of power that we can generate all the time. That so can't be said for other places. So what carbon recapture technology promises is that we can continue to generate power in traditional ways, quote-unquote, while being able to offset the carbon generation. Even something like the steel industry or the cement industry, you know, manufacturing, you're able to offset the carbon that you generate through carbon recapture technology. You're able to bring those emissions down, which is way better than having nothing at all. So we are in an interesting place, and carbon recapture technology isn't science fiction, even though it's used a lot in science fiction. I love it and love writing about it. It is science fiction now. It is science now. It's science reality, science fact, if you will. This technology exists, and we are working towards making it better. I know change is difficult. I know it's going to take a lot. Well, there's a lot of industries where, or a lot of places where, switching over to green energy is not effective. It's not going to work very well. I'm lucky that I live in Manitoba, where we are a green energy province, and we have been for a very long time. I don't think the policy even had climate change in mind. It was just that we had this abundant resource and we were a have-not province, so we didn't want to have to rely on anybody else. We wanted to generate power on our own, and we just wound up doing it. We do it pretty well. So it's not impossible. Manitoba, we do it. We just need to find a system that operates effectively and take the steps to be able to do it. And, you know, I don't think we're ever going to fully move away from coal-fired power plants, maybe oil generation, things like that, even though they are a non-renewable resource. And eventually, we probably will run out. It's probably not in humanity's existence. Probably too much of it. Who knows? Prove me wrong. Humanity has proven me wrong on very, very many occasions. But I think carbon recapture technology is the perfect way for us to mitigate a lot of the harsher change. We are able to tell people, if we build this technology and this capacity up, we continue the slow transition to green energy, we can make people a lot more comfortable and feel a lot more safe in terms of where their power is going to come from and how their life is going to be impacted. And that is going to do it for this episode of Let's Talk About. I've been talking about carbon recapture technology. If you really want to learn a lot more about it, simple Google search what's on Earth on CBC. Great podcast episode on it. Also, Bill Gates, Rashida Jones, look up their podcast. They did an episode on climate change and talked about carbon recapture technology. But if you're listening live on 101.5 UMFM, stay tuned. You've got some great songs and great shows coming up for the rest of the day. If you're tuned in on Spotify, thank you very much for your download. It means the world to me. And have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful week.